Hello, everyone. Welcome. I see people are coming into the room and we'll get started in just one second. Very good. Welcome, everyone. Let's make sure you can see us. Welcome to Parenting in a Pandemic, Setting Limits and Avoiding Power Struggles. My name is Erin Walsh, and me and my dad, Dr. Dave Walsh, started Spark and Stitch Institute. Why don't you say hi, Dad?
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for this webinar. As Erin said, my name is Dr. Dave Walsh. Both of us are talking to you from the home of Spark and Stitch Institute in Minneapolis. And of course, we're glad that you're joining us as we all try to figure out how to navigate completely uncharted territory as we try to figure out ways to manage ourselves, our families, juggle three different jobs, work, parenting, homeschool teacher, kind of unprecedented levels of stress. And we hope that we can offer a couple of suggestions to help all of us navigate that during this webinar.
Yeah, and we promise this is a second in a series that we're doing to help support you all during this challenging time. And so this is the second in a series, and we're going to go ahead and get started because we promised that we would keep it short and sweet. We know that you are all juggling so many things. I am as well. If you hear my children shouting from the basement, that is just because I am actively living the same kind of mashup of responsibilities that you are, which is why the theme of our session here today, Parenting in a Pandemic, Setting Limits and Avoiding Power Struggles, is so important. This kind of builds on the first session we had last week in our Spark Insight series, which was really all about stress, the brain science of stress, what we do when we respond to stress. And though some of you may have been with us last week, I know a lot of you on the line right now didn't attend last week. So my dad's going to give kind of a short reminder or overview of what we talked about last week, because this idea of setting boundaries and avoiding power struggles actually builds on our conversation from last week. So Dad, do you want to just give them the kind of quick overview or reminder of what we chatted about last week?
Yeah, Erin and I find it helpful to kind of think about these different parenting issues and parenting challenges through the lens of what we know about how our brains work. And one of the things the primary mission of our brain is important to remember, because even though our brains enable us to do all sorts of amazing things, the primary mission of the brain is survival, to keep us alive. And so how we respond to danger then, or stress, makes a lot of sense in terms of how the brain is wired. If our brain is going to be successful at keeping us alive, then one of the things that it needs to do, to be good at actually, is to be able to detect and respond quickly to danger. And our brain is designed very well for that. When we detect or respond quickly to danger, to something that's threatening, what happens is the activity shifts from the outer part of the brain down to the innermost parts of the brain. The outer part of the brain is called the cortex. Now, the cortex is where we think. It's where we problem solve. It's where we manage our emotions. When we're under stress, when we're confronted with threat, for survival purposes, activity shifts away from that part of our brain down into more feeling and then down into more functioning. The ultimate, of course, is the fight or flight response. But there are all sorts of different stages, all sorts of different degrees in that. And so it's important for us to remember that when we're under stress, and let's all acknowledge that everyone, every one of us, not just in our country, but literally in the world now, is under a great deal of stress, wondering what's going to happen, trying to stay safe, trying to keep our family members safe. And so with that stress comes the brain moving, the activity of the brain shifting away from our problem solving, our calm, being able to manage our emotions, down into a much more reactive mode.
Now, as we think about, as we downshift, that does not always look so pretty, right? Certainly sometimes when our kids experience stress, it manifests as, maybe wanting more snuggles or even them articulating, I'm worried, I'm overwhelmed, can you help me? But honestly, more often the faces of stress are a bit more challenging, a bit more difficult to detect, and sometimes even really maddening for us as parents. So Dad, do you want to review just really quickly what we talked about last week when it comes to the sort of the other faces of stress that are maybe a bit more challenging?
Yeah. As Erin just mentioned, a lot of times stress manifests itself in ways that aren't readily identified as stress. Sometimes it can look like just the opposite. So instead of dealing directly with stress, it comes out in terms of humor, disengagement, not taking it seriously. A very common one is anger, irritability, crankiness, very short-tempered. Sometimes it takes the form of kind of apathy or lethargy. I don't really want to do anything. And then still at other times or for other people, it translates into kind of overdrive or kind of a perfectionism. I'm going to get everything done. I'm going to clean the house and be the perfect homeschool teacher. And so stress can really manifest itself in different ways and can also have a big impact on things like our sleeping patterns, our diet, our eating patterns, our mood. We thought it might be helpful for you to take a minute now to use the chat feature on your screen to maybe jot down a phrase or some words or a brief description of how you see your kids manifesting stress, what it looks like in your family.
Yeah, and we're seeing them start to come in, and not surprisingly, they really map onto the faces of stress, Dad, that you just shared. So I'm seeing major mood swings, exclamation point, irritability. Some teens that are sort of feel driven to be on overdrive about their online learning.
Temper tantrums,
sleeping all the time, need for more hugs and more attachment for sure.
Teenagers, someone just wrote in, my two teenage sons do not seem to be taking it seriously at all.
Right. So that's sort of, I'm going to go to sleep, wake me up in June, that some teenagers might be feeling. So a lot of folks writing in saying that they're seeing increased volatility and irritability, anger, these faces of stress, that likely many of us are seeing in our kids right now. And the reason it's important for us to remember that it's stress is because when these more challenging behaviors arise, it's really easy for us to respond or to sort of misread them as you've got a bad attitude or you're lazy, when we have to remember sort of the root of where it's coming from. Now, last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the so what, and we're not gonna take as deep of a dive this week. I see some folks asking, is the session from last week available? Yes, we will send a link out to you with the recording of last week's session. But last week we did spend a lot of time talking about, so what do we do? What do kids need from us? Whether they're feeling exhausted, lethargic, or volatile, what do they need from us? Well, the good news, but kind of the challenging news, is that they need us. We talked a lot about how important a warm and caring connection is. In the face of stress, that it's the number one protective factor for our kids during challenging times is feeling connected in a safe and secure way with us. But given what you all just said, your children and your teens are experiencing, right? That connection doesn't always look this kind of warm and fuzzy, right? You're describing mood swings, volatility, difficulty sleeping. And so connection, the kind of connection that kids need when they're under stress, means that we need to be able to not just connect with them in joyful ways, but that we have to communicate to them that our connection, our relationship can handle all of these faces of stress, that they can handle all of these big feelings. And last session, we talked a little bit more about how to communicate that to our kids. And now we want to pivot to the focus of today's session because in the great questions we've gotten since, and as the pandemic sort of continues and social distancing continues, it's clear that in addition to connection, we have to add some other things to our toolkit. Because even though it's really important, especially during times of great strain and stress, to communicate to our kids that their feelings belong here, that all feelings are okay, that our house and our relationship can handle your anger, your disappointment, your sadness, your pain, your humor. But just because all feelings are okay, doesn't mean that all behaviors are okay. So what you do with that anger, what you do with that sadness, there do need to be some boundaries around what kind of behaviors are appropriate and some coaching with what do I do when I have such big feelings under stress. And we can look to actually some sort of longstanding parenting research as a guide to help us figure out how do we balance sort of connection with setting limits around challenging behavior, inappropriate behaviors. And Dad, you want to talk a little bit about some of that foundational research?
Yes, you know, what we've known from lots of research in terms of parenting styles and family systems is that the position where we really want to see if we can stay, which is not always easy to do, is kind of balanced. When we're under stress, there's often some pressure to kind of push us towards the extremes. And there are the two extremes are one we call permissive, and it's kind of anything goes. It's kind of we throw up our hands and say, you know, there's not a lot I can do, or I don't have time to deal with this. And so, you know, kind of there are, it's almost like kind of anything goes. There are a few rules. There's no follow through. There's very little accountability. There's no accountability sometimes. Kind of endless negotiation with no, you know, with no conclusion. And everybody's kind of doing their own thing. That's an extreme. The other extreme is what we call authoritarian. It's we say, okay, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through this my way or the highway. We become very, very rigid. We become no negotiation, very, very strict enforcement. There's a lot of autocratic leadership. I'll make all the decisions. You just do what I tell you to do. And those are the two extremes, kind of the anything goes, and then the other extreme, my way or the highway. And we know from research that both of those extremes are not healthy places for families. They're not healthy places for kids. And so what we want to do is to see if we can find and stay to the extent that we can in that balanced position, where we're kind of in charge, but there's some flexibility. There's warmth, there's rules, and they're firm, but there's also some negotiation, and we're open to opinions, feedback, even from our, feedback from our kids. It's clear in a balanced family that the adults are in charge, not in an autocratic way, but in a leadership way. And so there's that kind of balanced position, and that's where we hope we can stay. But it's difficult to maintain that position when we're under a great deal of stress. And sometimes, our family history comes in. We were all parented in a certain way. And if we were lucky enough to be parented in a balanced way, then those are some of the scripts that I've got. But if I was parented in one of the extremes, then when we're under stress, we can resort to that extreme. So maybe even reflecting on how I was parented growing up might be helpful to think about as we try to figure out how to find and stay in this balanced position.
Because it is really clear as we look at those different extremes that the balanced approach really does set the brain up for success. So as we think about what the brain needs, they really need what we could think of as safety, organization, and support. And in the last session, we talked a lot about safety and support. But in that balanced part, we're talking about how do you help organize your child's experience. And when we're talking about organization, we're not talking about, you know, setting up color-coded calendars for your child's distance learning day. We're not talking about the logistics of how to manage the household. We're talking about helping a child organize their behavior, organize their feelings, and help them understand that when they're asking the developmentally appropriate question, how far can I go, that they know that there are adults around them who care enough to say, this is how far, right? And to help create the level of organization that allows them to feel more safe and secure. And so as you try to find your way towards that balanced approach, we have a tool or an exercise that we have found to be really helpful. Dad, do you want to kind of walk them through our
tool that Erin just mentioned is what we call the red light, yellow light, green light behaviors. Is that one of the things that's important for a family to do is to kind of figure out which are the behaviors that are just out of balance. Those are what we call the red light behaviors. And so it might be things like hitting, violence, bullying, name calling. And we decide as a family, those are the behaviors that are not acceptable. And we'll be clear about what those behaviors are. We'll be clear about the consequences so that there's some accountability. The yellow light behaviors are behaviors that can kind of go either way. They're not red light behaviors, but there are behaviors that we might want to have some accountability for, but it depends on the context. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit more detail in just a couple minutes, because right now we are in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. We are in the midst of lockdown in most places in our country. And so the context has really changed. And so we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in just a couple of minutes. And then the green light behaviors are the behaviors, you know, that are just fine. And so what we need to do is to kind of figure out, you know, which behaviors belong in which category.
Yeah. And so this is a tool that we have used before, and it can be very helpful when you're sort of taking a step back from the challenging behaviors and really thinking about, like, where do I want to draw the line and where do I want to let go? Now, it's important for us to remember that this is oftentimes easier in theory than in practice, especially when we ourselves are under strain. So all of those phases of stress that my dad reviewed earlier, we talked about in the context of our kids, and you shared things like, oh yeah, my kid is more volatile, they're more angry. Well, just because our brain is wired, so our frontal lobe and our cortex is more mature, doesn't mean it's not tired and under a great deal of strain ourselves. So when we're experiencing stress, right, our feelings brain hijacks our thinking brain and can make it really difficult for us to make sort of more measured or thoughtful decisions about things like, where do I want to draw boundaries? And when we're under stress, if you're anything like me, you might wildly vacillate between those different parenting approaches, where one day, or even the first half of the day, everything turns into a red light behavior. It's like everything's just driving you bonkers. The sound of your kid's voice feels like it's getting on your nerves, so you're telling them to be quiet. And you're walking around basically turning every behavior into a battle. The danger with this, even though it's understandable, given that we're all under a lot of stress, is that when every behavior becomes a red light behavior, it starts to eat away at connection. And, you know, we just reviewed in all last session talked about what a powerful role connectedness plays in the health and lives of children who are under stress. Also, when we start getting into every behavior is a red light behavior, we start to make some mistakes. We start to say things we might regret. So, you know, when I'm really tired and I can feel myself going into the red zone, this is where you might start to all of a sudden use shame, or you're starting to yell, things that ultimately don't feel good to your kids and don't feel good to you. And that doesn't feel great. Sometimes even within the same day, then we swing to the other side. Sometimes out of sheer exhaustion. You're like, okay, I've been fighting all morning, so you know what? I'm done. And all of a sudden, every behavior becomes a green light behavior. You're like, you know what? Just I don't operate the stove, but otherwise, you know, 5-year-old, good luck out there. This really doesn't feel good to our kids. While it is tempting, given the level of exhaustion that we're in, this kind of disorganization, where kids are saying, "How far can I go?" and no one's coming in to say, "This is how far." That can be really dysregulating to kids as well. Now, they don't usually turn to us and ask us for more boundaries, but we start to see behaviors that exhibit stress. So maybe more volatility, right? Even more escalation of challenging behaviors as they get sort of free rein. And so I'm curious, for those of you who are live on the webinar right now, if you could just use the chat box to let me know if I'm alone in this, or if you too have found yourselves kind of vacillating between the every behavior is a red light behavior, and then swinging to the, you know what, I'm letting go, do whatever you want. And we're seeing some things come in. I see a capital YES, 5 exclamation points. Someone says, yes, I started off as red, went straight to green by lunch, and now I'm back in the sort of the neutral zone after dinner. So even within the context of one day, we're starting to see a lot of people affirming that this is not me alone. This makes a lot of sense. When we're under stress, it's really easy for us to swing from one side to the other.
Might be a little bit reassuring, Erin, for us to you know, the messages that are coming in are confirming that it's so easy to shift back and forth between this red and green. So we're kind of, you know, we're all in this boat together.
You are not alone. And the other thing that's coming up quite a bit are people saying, you know what, I tend to, when I'm stressed, go to the red, but my parenting partner tends to go to the green.
Oh,
so
yeah.
they tend to loosen way up, and I tend to clamp right down. Revisiting this exact exercise in a moment of calm, not when you're in a heated conflict, but when you're in a moment of calm, or relative calm in a pandemic, to visit this exact exercise with your parenting partner, to try to get some agreement on, okay, well, these are the 4, we may not be able to agree on everything, but here are the kind of out of bounds behaviors that we need to be safe, to be healthy, and to be happy while we're all in this home together. And to try to just get some agreement on those, knowing that if you go to the red, you might need to loosen up a little bit, let some things go, but your parenting partner might need to move, so that you find your way towards the middle. So go ahead and print this off and maybe start wrestling with it a bit. But let's bring this tool though into the context of the pandemic a bit, because I do think it's important to think about how maybe what kinds of behaviors we assign to which category do need to maybe shift during times of great strain. So Dad, you wanna talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we said that, you know, the yellow light is we bring in context. Well, all of us are living in a context that we've never experienced before, a worldwide pandemic. And so we may need to do some adjusting in terms of our parenting expectations, in terms of our parenting, in terms of our family rules. Because what we wanna do is we wanna save our relationship capital for the things that really are important. And so maybe under the, you know, maybe under perfect circumstances, for example, I might, you know, I might have certain expectations about a clean and neat room. But given the stress that everyone's under, and given all of the things that we have to deal with, and given all the feelings that everyone has, we might decide, you know, maybe in a perfect world that I'd have some expectations about a clean room, but I'm going to let that go because there are other things that right now that are a little bit higher priority. Or when I ask a teenager to do something and they roll their eyes, might push my button, but I'm going to take that deep breath and I'm going to say, you know, it's not worth it right now. There are other things that are a little bit more important. So what we want to do is a term that Erin and I have used many times is we want to loosen up a little bit, but we don't want to let go because we don't want it to become chaotic. We don't want that permissive. We don't want things to become so permissive they become chaotic, because that just actually increases the level of stress.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put in some examples here. So you can see under the red light behaviors, obviously things around safety. Also things that you're just noticing are patterns. So maybe once or twice, these don't feel like they bubble to the top. But if every time people are talking to each other, they're slightly disrespectful or, you know, things that sort of are starting to eat away over time, that might be something that you want to talk about. How do we actually address that? It's not just negative behaviors too. We added in things like bedtime as an example. Whether or not that's a point of conflict, it might just need to still be a boundary that you're holding really firmly because of its impact on our mental health and our ability to handle stress. So it's not just about managing problem behaviors or challenging behaviors. It's also about what are the kinds of boundaries you want to safeguard to set your kids up for success. So we really do encourage you. We have people who say, are you going to, a note coming in saying, are you going to share the slides? Yes. So you'll get a recording of this little session, but also, you know, we'll send out a little printable handout that you can actually, we really do encourage you to sit down. If you're parenting alone, great. Sit down with yourself and reflect. If you're parenting with a parenting partner or across households, this might be a really simple way to start getting on the same page. Now, before we wrap up, we promised that this would be a short session. You know, this, as you're in your calm place and you're reflecting on this, this might sound all really nice and good and a helpful tool. But let's remember that oftentimes it's when we're under strain, when we are the ones who are getting reactive, that we start to treat every behavior like a red light behavior. Or when we ourselves are either needing the bait or taking the bait from our kids, or we're escalating ourselves. And at that point, it can be really hard to return to this framework to help guide our next steps. So at that point, you can kind of use the same red, yellow, green light tool, but in a kind of a different way, is to remember that when you feel yourself being drawn into a battle, it's a really good time to take a break, to take a breath or do something to engage your brain back from the bottom up, right? So that you can access the thinking part of your brain. Once we get back to calm and can access the thinking part of our brain, we have the cognitive room to empathize with our kids and to recall the framework that you brainstormed when you were feeling cool, calm, and collected, right? So at that point, then once we're calm, we can actually think, oh, you know what? That eye roll was really the last thing I needed in that moment. But now that I'm calm, I've remembered, like, I'm just not going to turn that into a battle right now. Or you get back to calm and you think, no, this is not appropriate and we need to address the behavior. But we do best in addressing the behavior from a teaching perspective, a coaching perspective, when we can use our thinking brain and not just our feelings. When we're in reactive mode, it's hard for us to get back to that framework and we just start burning through relationship capital right and left. And then Dad, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, but, you know, as a parent, I'm thinking about these models and, you know, taking time to reflect and then, you know, maybe using these in the moment tools to make sure I'm accessing my thinking brain. But what happens if it's not really working? Like, you know, we're kind of having to escalate consequences in the face of more challenging behaviors.
You know, part of stepping back and problem solving is one of the things that might be helpful is to have family check-ins on a regular basis. You know, find out how people are doing, acknowledge that this is very difficult and acknowledge that it's difficult for you yourself and give kids permission to talk about their frustrations. So they get some of that opportunity to get some of their feelings out. And that might lower the temperature a little bit and a little bit less likely for their stress feelings to come out sideways in some of that more sideways behavior. And then we can also identify some ways to solve this. Okay. How are we going to get through this? And so family check-ins, which are always a good idea, are probably even more helpful during a time of stress, which is if we put stress on a scale of 1 to 10, some days, given everything that's going on, It might be at a 10. And so it becomes even more important to be able to step back and to also at that time be clear and to review, you know, what are some of those red light behaviors that we need to all avoid, and how there's going to be accountability for that as well, if I need to make that clear. But in addition, yeah, it's almost also, like, go ahead, Erin.
Oh, I was just going to say, and you know, something to add is when we're in those family check-ins, a couple things. One, it's a great time for especially your older kids to have some voice and some agency around this. They might have some ideas, like what are the things that they need from us, that maybe there's things we are doing that are making their lives really difficult. This close proximity means that we have to take some responsibility, right? Challenging behaviors oftentimes have two parts, right? There's two people as part of that interaction. So being able to have, you know, older kids and teenagers be able to voice some of that as well, can become really helpful and really important as we hit that balanced approach where we actually are hearing the opinions of everybody. Sorry, go ahead, Dad.
If stress really is hijacking our brain, one of the things that we have to watch out for is that just escalating consequences is really going to be counterproductive. It eats away at the connection. It just kind of increases. So while we need to be clear about what the family rules are and what the red light behaviors are, we don't want to fall into a pattern of just escalating the consequences. What we want to do is we want to find other solutions, invite kids to help coming up with some of those solutions. And so what we want to do is look for the patterns of behavior and see if we can figure out some solutions and engage that cortex in some problem solving.
And let me give a quick example of what we mean. So sometimes we get it in our head that, you know, one of our expectations is that we're going to get up and we're all going to start you're going to start your online schooling and I'm going to start my work and this is going to go smoothly, right? And all of a sudden your kid who maybe was a pretty good self-starter and could initiate work on their own just sort of is, laying on their floor looking at their socks, right? And it's like, it can be really aggravating for us as parents. And if that's happening every single day, despite, you saying, well, if you choose not to start the day off, then, you have this kind of consequence. Part of what we know about stress is that sometimes it can make it more difficult for some of the skills that seemed really easy for our kids 3 months ago might be a challenge today. So looking for patterns, and instead of just escalating consequences, is there some coaching, some extra support, some extra kind of structure we can put in place to get them kind of up and going, for example? So if something's not working, that's a chance to step back and think, is it stress? Is it developmentally inappropriate expectations? Like, are my expectations managing what my kids can actually do right now? All right. So we are just about at time. We promise to keep this short and sweet. We know that you all have so much going on, and we wanted to at least be able to share a little bit of that context, build on the science of stress, but share this really practical tool that we encourage you to, when you leave this webinar, once you're in a calmer place, to visit that and think about whether this tool can help you kind of let go of some of the behaviors that maybe aren't worth spending your relationship capital on while making sure that your kids aren't completely in charge of the house. And a reminder that this, as we close, that figuring out a way to stay connected and doing it in the way that isn't just about the warm and fuzzies, but is the hard work of setting limits and diffusing power struggles and managing our own stress, this is often a delayed gratification activity. And so our kids don't always turn to us and say, like, wow, your parenting in this pandemic is exceptional. Like, especially your commitment to bedtime and especially the way that you're making sure we're safe with each other. That usually doesn't happen. That it might not be until kids are reflecting.
If it does happen, that's a bonus.
Yeah, it shouldn't be expected. It's often going to be when we're kind of well past this that kids look back and they're going to remember that even though it was really stressful and really challenging, they felt safe, they felt cared for, and they had adults around them who cared about them enough to kind of organize their world a little bit. And so while you're waiting for that, you know, kid turned adult to come back and thank you for the incredible parenting you're doing during a pandemic. And by incredible, I just mean that you're doing the best you can, right? That you're being gentle with yourself and knowing that this is hard, and that we have to turn to each other and gather in rooms like this, these virtual Zoom rooms, to share some strategies, yes, but also to affirm each other and say, you know, the work that you're doing to get back to balance, the way that you are willing to apologize to your kid when you're in the red, that makes all the difference in the world. So we're really grateful that you spent a little bit of time with us. We're seeing a lot of questions coming in about the recordings and any follow-up resources. So before we log off, please know that you'll get an email probably later today or in the next couple days with a recording of this session, a reminder of where you can find the last session, and a little preview of the next time that we'll be online and how you can get a seat to join us again, as well as some follow-up tips and tools related to this and related to parenting in a pandemic. So don't worry, we've got you. We wanna stay connected, and we're just grateful that even though we're physically distant, that we're able to share some time together. So Dad, anything else you wanna say?
No, just thank you for joining us. I think this is kind of a time to just hang in there, and we're all in this together, and we'll get through to the other side together.
Thanks, everybody. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you soon.